Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus with you from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland. Great to have you with us as we continue with our hot stove shows throughout the off season. Coming up on this week's edition of Tribe Talk, we will meet another newly signed player this off season. This past week, right-handed pitcher Gavin Floyd, a veteran presence now in that starting rotation. He was signed to a one-year deal and will be joined by Gavin Floyd. Get his thoughts on returning from some significant elbow issues, but he's highly confident that he will be a major player in that Indians rotation this season. We will also hear from Chris Antonetti about that signing, the Tribe general manager. We will also visit with James Quinlan, the Indians' head athletic trainer. He'll discuss an injury sustained by Jason Kipnis, Tribe's second baseman. Will that hamper his efforts to be ready to go for the start of the 2015 season? We'll hear from James Quinlan about that injury coming up shortly. And we'll have much more as Tribe Talk gets rolling on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland. Great to have you along as we continue with our hot stove editions heading into the holiday season. And once we get through the holiday season and the calendar turns to 2015, boy, there's not much time left before we'll be talking to you about spring training developments from Goodyear, Arizona. Of course, Tribe Fest. Prior to that, we'll hear from Joel Hammond in a little bit, the Indians coordinator of communications, about some of the details on Tribe Fest and the best way for you to be a part of that great event in late January. Earlier this week, we had a chance to visit with the newest Cleveland Indian, right-handed pitcher Gavin Floyd, signed earlier this week to a one-year major league contract. You may be familiar with Floyd from his years with the Chicago White Sox. He's 31 years of age, a 500 record in the major leagues, but some very consistent seasons for the White Sox after being drafted by the Phillies originally with a number one draft pick. He was the fourth overall pick back in 2001, but was traded to Chicago in time for the 2007 season. And from 08 through the 2012 campaign, you could count on Gavin Floyd for about 30 starts a year and double digits in victories with a high watermark of 17-8 back in the 2008 season. But last year, he was coming off Tommy John surgery, had signed with the Braves in the offseason, and actually came back and threw very well in 9 starts with Atlanta. In those 9 starts, his ERA 2.65, but in mid-June, a right elbow fracture, not an aggravation of the Tommy John surgery, an elbow fracture ended his campaign at that point. And now the Indians hoping that he is indeed healthy and ready to go. They've obviously done major medical work to find out about his health. And can he contribute in a meaningful way to the starting rotation during the 2015 season? They believe that to be the case. And when we caught up with Gavin Floyd earlier this week, he says, hey, he's ready to roll and contribute in a meaningful way this coming year.
I'm really excited and thankful for this opportunity. Coming back from Tommy John, the time I was able to pitch, I felt the best I felt in a really long time. So it was definitely unexpected to have the setback of a fracture, but things have been going really well and it's been healing really well. So I'm excited to get back on the horse and get back out there and compete.
And you mentioned that second injury while pitching with Atlanta last year. Now, take us inside what happens when you have that type of injury and you head into an off season without much of a recent track record to go by. How difficult is it to gain some interest from some ball clubs?
I think a lot of it's out of your control. You know, I think the short nine starts that I had was kind of a segment of what me after Tommy John looks like. So I think that I pitched very well. So I feel like that teams had confidence in that and knew that Tommy John was good, a good surgery, and that it was successful. And a health, you know, me being healthy was, and not having elbow issues was, it looked good. And, you know, I felt good. I think teams looked at that, Cleveland especially. I think we're excited to, take the risk, whatever risk that were involved in, and because they, I think me being healthy is a good thing. And it looks, with a broken bone, the doctor is very confident that, and it has been healing great. So
often in a rehab assignment, you're doing it while you're under contract with a team and you have those trainers available and the organization behind you. Was it tough, though, not being in that situation at the end of the year where you had to kind of do it on your own? And if so, who were some of the people that helped you get through and then helped you get noticed again?
My agents have been, they care about me and they care about my future. And, they're great people. I'm thankful for them for their hard work and fighting for me. And they were a big instrument in this and people, that I work with down at Clearwater at the Winning Inning, with Sarah Sullivan, who is, the head rehab person there. And, she put a lot of work and Roy Silver, who's one of the part owners there, they've been kind of just, being there and being encouragement and definitely, and helped me along my way, doing everything they can to help me to get back. And, for sure they've been, big helps.
Gavin Floyd joining us, newly signed earlier this week to a free agent contract with the Tribe. And Gavin, how much familiarity do you have with the pitching situation here in Cleveland in terms of opportunity and some of the others on the staff?
What's the question? Sorry.
How much familiarity do you have with the opportunity here and some of the other pitchers on the staff here in Cleveland?
The familiarity of the AL Central and that being the American League again, it's very, very familiar for me. I think I've pitched my majority of my career in the Central, so it's usually against the Cleveland Indians. So now I'm excited to get back out there and compete against it. Compete in there again. It's always a highly competitive division, and I think we have a very talented and led by a manager that's well respected. So I think that we're gonna have a fun year.
And you mentioned that, and obviously, so much of your focus has been on getting healthy, getting noticed, and finding that opportunity. How much does the opportunity to be a part of a winning ball club factor into play here when you had to make some decisions?
Oh, it was huge. I think, when teams definitely you get the handful of teams that you are interested, you definitely look for, different opportunities more, opportunity of being successful, opportunities of being on a winning club because I think that's everybody wants to win, and I'm a competitor and I want to win and I want to be an impact. So if I could be on a team that has projected to, has a history of at least in the recent years to to do real well, and looks like they're having a good thing going. And you know, I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to. I think it was a big factor in the decision, hearing that Mickey was a good pitching coach, and you know, was another factor for me, because I like to work with somebody that is likable and that is workable and can bring something to me, with, you know, on the table. So there's a lot of factors I think that went in, but definitely as a baseball player, you want to win, and I feel like the Cleveland Indians have a lot of things, a lot of pieces in place to have another winning season, and hopefully a playoff and et cetera winning season.
And you come in here as the, quote, veteran presence on a pitching staff, and just having watched you over the years with the opposition, it wasn't that long ago you were a young guy breaking in with, first with the Phillies and then really establishing yourself with the White Sox. At 31, does it seem odd to you to be referred to as that veteran guy on the staff, or is that just where you are right now in your career?
Yeah, I guess last year it was kind of I think the average age on that team, on the Braves, was 24, 25. And it was kind of like, man, I don't feel like that guy, but 'cause I've always been on a team where the guys have been, you know, 35 plus, or, you know, right around there to be labeled the veteran. So I still feel like I'm in my prime, you know. But obviously when their average is 24, 25, you're kind of, maybe I am a little bit on that veteran side.
Well, enjoy the remainder of the off season. We'll look forward to meeting you out in spring training. Gavin, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks a lot, Bert.
That's Indians pitcher Gavin Floyd, signed as a free agent earlier this week. And he's expected to be a major player in that starting rotation. In fact, Chris Antonetti, Tribe general manager, addressed that question earlier this week.
I think as we, you know, set out this offseason, one of our goals was to try to add a veteran presence to our rotation and add some depth specifically to our pitching staff. And we feel by signing Gavin, we were able to do that, and bringing a veteran starter that's had a lot of success in the American League, and when he's been healthy, he's proven to be a very effective pitcher. And so we're excited to welcome him in the organization and add him to our pitching staff. His elbow's actually fine. We went through an extensive physical. Gavin was here yesterday and went through a physical. His ligament is strong and intact, and you know, the fracture he suffered last year is well healed, and you know, we expect him to be ready for full activity in spring training. We were actually able to observe some of his workouts over the course of this fall, and watched him throw in November out to 120 feet, and he was free and easy at that point, and looked very good and healthy. I think it certainly increases the competition that we'll have in spring training for the last spot in the rotation. So, you know, as we sit here today, we've got a good group of, you know, eight, where we go at least eight or nine starters deep. And, you know, that's one of our goals as we start out each season, is to make sure that we not only have a starting staff that's capable of you know, pitching in the first couple months of the season, but that we can have that depth to sustain the rigors of the 162-game schedule. Again, things could evolve and change in spring training, but in all likelihood, that's how it sits today. Kluber, and again, order could be dependent. Carrasco and Bauer, who are both out of options and, you know, very effective starters, and then Floyd. And then that leaves McAllister, Tomlin, House, Salazar in competition.
That's Indians general manager Chris Antonetti talking about expectations for the newest pitcher signed by the Tribe, right-hander Gavin Floyd. Indians also announcing earlier this week some moves on the free agent front, the minor league side, and we'll get to those when we return, plus an update on the status of Indian second baseman Jason Kipnis, an injury issue for him. We'll hear about that next on the Indians Radio Network. Boom, 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 boom. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you at Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. We continue on the show today with an injury update to a player expected to be a key for the Indians in the coming season. Tribe looking for a bounce-back year from Jason Kipnis, whose offensive numbers were down a season ago. He had to miss some time with that oblique issue that kept him out much of the month of May, and he just never could really get it going after that time. And he certainly was looking for a solid offseason of good work to get in the best possible shape in terms of that oblique that he could be in heading into spring training. But during those workouts, sustained an injury to his ring finger. The Indians' head athletic trainer is James Quinlan, and he explains exactly what the injury is and the prognosis for Kipnis' availability at the start of the season.
Jason experienced the injury to his extensor tendon of his ring finger, his fourth finger. That tendon runs along the back of your hand, along down that finger. So, you know, not the palm, but the other side of the hand. Dr. Graham performed a repair of it, so it just involved putting a few stitches within the tendon and essentially sewing the tendon back together. There's also a portion of where you pin the joint. You put a pin in there to just help immobilize the joint over the next several weeks just to allow for protection and healing.
Do you know how he specifically did this? Did he drop something on it, or was it just a screen when he lifted something? Or?
It was lifting, and it involved re-racking a pretty heavy weight. And it was an accident. It slipped out of his hand, and his hand got pinched, in between a weight and a weight rack.
Okay.
What's the recovery time for this, and how much will he be able to do come spring training?
Yeah, we're optimistic he's going to be able to do a lot come spring training. Recovery times, again, it's very variable, as you know, and depends on healing and how he recovers over the next 5 or 6 weeks. But, just to give you some idea, we're pretty optimistic he's going to be able to, be fielding and throwing and doing essentially all aspects of baseball activity, with the exception of hitting, by the start of spring training, when he reports to spring training. As you know, the forces involved with gripping a bat and hitting are a little bit more extensive. So that'll be the last thing he starts, but we're optimistic he'll also be on some form of hitting progression at the start of spring training.
Is he going to have that pin taken out of there?
Yeah, it's pretty simple procedure, actually, though. They don't need to go back in there and do any type of surgery to get it out. The technology is pretty advanced, especially when it comes to the hand, that it's as simple as pulling it out. They have a device where they can just pull the pin out, and there's no needed future surgery or opening of the skin. That's something, the doctors and myself, we just, that's, as you, when it comes in for rechecks, it's motion dependent, according to the doctor. Some of it's just, tissue healing, and over a certain amount of time, he's going to be healing and strong, and then you monitor his motion. And then as soon as he starts, like we said, towards that end of January, when he starts doing more activities and fielding, and he's able to move it more, putting a bat in his hand is just dependent on how his motion and strength are. That's why there's some variability in the time frame. Everybody heals a little bit differently, and we're optimistic that Jason will be in the optimal position to heal like he needs to and be ready to rip a bat as soon as possible. He's been working hard, and Jason's he's a pro, and he's been working hard. He's been ready to kind of get back at it, and he's frustrated, but handling it well.
That's James Quinlan, the Indians' head athletic trainer, with the update on an injury to Jason Kipnis. Sounds like things should progress in a way that will have him available for spring training and the start of the season, but obviously caution being taken in regards to that injury. So here's hoping that's not a major setback for Kipnis, obviously a key part of the Indians' plans for the coming year. Well, the Indians, as always, try to add depth during the offseason, signing players to minor league contracts with invites to major league camp. And they may seem like small announcements at the time, but the last two seasons in particular, the Indians have received major contributions from players signed to those types of contracts who have then gone and made the club during spring training. Specifically, last year, reliever Scott Acheson was in that boat in spring training. He made the club and was a major key in the bullpen for the Indians during the year. And the year prior, of course, Ryan Rayburn did the same thing, making the club as a non-roster invite in spring training, and then was a key contributor to the Indians' playoff run in 2013. Will one of these four players fit that mold? We'll see. Won't know till we get to spring training, but here they are. A couple of catchers, one, Brett Hayes, a 30-year-old catcher who spent most of the first 4 months last season in Kansas City. He was the backup catcher to All-Star Salvador Perez before he spent the final month of the year down at AAA Omaha for Kansas City. He began his professional career 10 years ago in the Florida Marlins minor league system. He's appeared in 175 major league games over the past six seasons. The other catcher, Adam Moore, he's 30 years old. He's appeared in 86 major league games over the years with Seattle, Kansas City, and San Diego. He was a Mariners sixth round pick back in 2006. Most of this past year spent with AAA El Paso in the Padres organization. And while he was there, he hit .298. with 12 home runs and 34 runs driven in, and did receive a September call-up for the Padres. Also signed to minor league deals with a major league invite, outfielder Destin Hood. He spent his entire pro career to date in the Washington Nationals organization, was a second-round pick by Washington back in 2008, split last season between AA and AAA in the Nationals minor league system, hitting .298 combined with 11 home runs and 42 runs driven in. And the final player signed this week to a minor league contract with that major league invite, first baseman outfielder Jerry Sands. He's 27 years of age. Began the year with the Tampa Bay's AAA ball club in Durham, North Carolina, where he hit .268 the first 2 months of the year, had 9 home runs and 36 runs driven in, was promoted to Tampa Bay on June the 1st, appeared in a dozen games, but then his season ended in late June. Left wrist surgery shut him down. He's a former 25th-round draft pick of the Dodgers back in 2008. So those four headed to camp, giving the Indians some experience, perhaps at the major league level, but at the very least, an opportunity to load up that AAA Columbus ball club as well with some experience in the event of injury. And again, we saw last year a player in that boat, not only Scott Acheson, but Niger Morgan, who did such nice work for the Indians early in the season, making the club as a minor league sign with the major league invite to camp. So we'll see if one of those four, Brett Hayes, Adam Moore, Destin Hood, and or Jerry Sands, can have that type of impact on this year's ball club. Well, we hope you can stay with us when we come back. We check in with Joel Hammond, the Indians coordinator of communications. He'll fill us in on some good things to know about Tribe Fest, another edition of Tribe Fest, that great midwinter event at the ballpark. It's coming up in late January, the 24th and the 25th. Hope you can be here. He'll tell you how to be here in style when we come back after this on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back at Progressive Field downtown Cleveland, joined by Joel Hammond, who's the communications coordinator for the Tribe. We're talking Tribe Fest as we're just about ready to turn the corner through the holidays. New Year's coming, and once you do that, Tribe Fest a short ways away, and spring training soon to follow. This year's Tribe Fest, January 24th and 25th. And Joel, during this holiday season, might be a great time to pick up your tickets, because there's some clear advantages to doing that online in advance, aren't there?
Yeah, hi, Rosie. Very, very good advantages to doing so in advance and online. First of all, you're able to get your tickets. Our tickets are going very steadily, so make sure you get your tickets in advance, obviously. They're $10 for general admission, and also buying in advance guarantees you the autograph session you want. So if you're coming Saturday morning, January 24th, and you want that first autograph session at 10:15, purchasing now will guarantee you that autograph session, whereas if you wait, you might be at the mercy of your fellow Tribe fans.
And when you look at years past, the first year before the current autograph situation was implemented, there were long waits. I know people were so patient, and it was a great event, but it seemed like it was very much streamlined because of the ability to purchase autograph sessions.
Yeah, we learned a lot of lessons that first year at Tribe Fest in 2013. In fact, Rosie, we talked. It was my first real task on the job, and it was a bit of a mess. So we changed last year to a format where purchase your autograph tickets in addition to your GA tickets, and it really worked smoothly. The lines went much more smoothly, and it was a great experience for our fans and our players, and it's we're geared up for another great experience this year.
And before we talk players, just one more thing about purchasing in advance. Great crowds the first couple of years at TribeFest. We expect the same. And when you look at parking, sometimes that can be a challenge based on events next door. There is a Cavs game on the Sunday. There's a Monsters game on the Saturday. So if you do purchase in advance, what's the deal on parking?
Yeah, so we're encouraging our fans who purchase tickets in advance to also add in parking for $3. Like you said, there are some conflicts downtown, but we're entitled to spaces in Gateway East parking garage that our fans are very familiar with. So add that parking on for $3 for Tribe Fest on Saturday and Sunday, the 24th and 25th, and that way you're not at the mercy of game day pricing for Cavs and Monsters. And also, Rosie, one more thing. Purchasing in advance also gets your kids' tickets free. Every adult purchase is entitled to two kids' tickets for free when purchased online. Kids' tickets day of the event are $5. So yet another advantage of purchasing in advance.
All right, so who's coming? That's the big question everyone wants to know. So many stars for the Indians. You're looking at an MVP candidate this year in Michael Brantley. You have your Cy Young Award winner in Corey Kluber, Yan Gomes with a great year. Some good young talent on this ball club. How many of these guys will be here for TriFest?
Well, great news. We just announced on Thursday. We got the logistics all set. Corey Kluber, like you said, our Cy Young Award winner, a fan favorite, and Michael Brantley, another fan favorite, MVP finalist, will be here for TribeFest the 24th and 25th of January. They'll join already announced guys like, as you said, Silver Slugger Award winner Yan Gomes, Jason Kipnis, Nick Swisher, Michael Bourne, Carlos Carrasco, who, again, was one of the best pitchers, perhaps even better than Kluber in the second half. He'll be here for the event again. So really all the guys that we're trying to get Brandon Moss on board, we'll have some news on that here in the next couple weeks if he's able to swing it too. So all the guys that our fans love, Kluber, Brantley, Gomes, Kipnis, Swisher, Bourne, et cetera, they'll all be here and ready to mingle with our great fans.
And one of the fun things, the past couple of years, some outstanding alums from the 90s and beyond, even prior to that. What do we have lined up this year for former Tribe players?
Yeah, so a little hint at our promotion schedule. There's a common theme in our alumni. We've got Charlie Nagy, El Presidente, Dennis Martinez, Paul Ossenmacher, and we're working on a couple more names. They were all members of our 95 World Series team. The 20th anniversary of that team will be this year. So a little hint at our promotion schedule as well with those names here for Tribe Fest. So our fans seem to love interacting with those guys. And we, you know, you talk about the players being here. Our players love interacting with our fans, and it's really our fans' best chance, Rosie, to get up close and personal with our players. You know, you get in those autograph sessions, you get to take photos with the players, you get to, heck, even play video games with them up in the Collection Auto Club. So really our fans' best chance to really get up close and personal with those players they love to watch so much.
Is it true there'll be a separate booth set aside for Corey Kluber to see if you can get Corey to smile or crack the Klubot code?
I don't believe that's in the plans yet, but we're looking for any and all fun activities. And, Rosie, we'll have a couple fun events on the main stage, too. I can't quite share details yet, but some fun events involving our players and some local celebrities as well on the main stage. So we'll have information on those events coming up here in the next couple weeks if you stay tuned to Indians.com and our social media channels.
Joel Hammond, Indians Coordinator of Communications. Stay tuned. More to come. Tribe Talk continuing from Progressive Field after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk, our final segment from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland. Great to have you with us this week. Before we wrap up this week's show, we wanted to get to some Twitter questions that we had this past week. As always, we're going to try and make it a regular part of our show. If you want to check in and you have a question about the tribe, we'll do our best to answer as many as we can. And this week, at Indians Radio, our Twitter address, if you want to send questions in, we heard from DJ Sebastian, who wanted to know which spring training games will be broadcast from Goodyear on the Indians Radio Network. And DJ will have 15 spring training games, about half the games. And a good rule of thumb is it's mainly the weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. And we will carry the opener, which is a Tuesday, March the 3rd. That'll be on the radio. And then after that, pretty much your weekend games, the Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. I know there's a game or two in there that are the night games, which being the time change would start at 10, so we probably won't carry those. But radio network-wise, 15 mainly weekends, including the opener against the Reds on March the 3rd. And then those that are not on the radio network, we will carry those on Indians.com, a webcast exclusive. Most of the time, it'll be an Indians broadcast. Occasionally, though, we will just go ahead and pick up the opposing team broadcast. But one way or another, you'll be able to listen to each spring training game, if you want to, at the very least, on the web or on your app on the iPhone, the MLB.com app. So a lot of ways to pick up Indians baseball from spring training, but in answer to DJ's question, 15 of the spring training games, mainly Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, will be on the radio on the Indians Radio Network. So we look forward to that, and that's great news to be talking about that at this time and know that it's only about 2 months away, and before you know it, we'll be back in action with baseball on the radio. Steve K. wants to know, what are the expectations for Trevor Bauer going into the season? We had Chris Antonetti on a little bit earlier, and the expectation is, barring something unforeseen in spring training, that Trevor Bauer would be somewhere in that mix of four starting pitchers who have just about locked up spots in the rotation. He would certainly fit in that mix, with the main competition being for the last spot. And Chris mentioned, obviously, Corey Kluber, your Cy Young Award winner, leads the rotation, but they fully expect Carlos Carrasco, Trevor Bauer, and then newly signed Gavin Floyd to be a part of that rotation, with the other names battling it out for that fifth spot, and a real nice situation in terms of depth. I want to thank all those who sent in Twitter questions this week. You can do so each week on Tribe Talk for the most part. And again, our Twitter address is at Indians Radio for your Twitter questions. We'll conclude this week's show with a full service announcement for those of you who are still wrapping up Christmas shopping. Obviously, the big day next week, so still some time. If you do have a Tribe fan on your list and you want to pick up some Indians gear, come on down to the team shop. We had a chance to catch up with the Indians Director of Merchandise, Karen Fox, late this week and get the update. Team shop hours and what's on sale, a lot happening down at the ballpark store.
Well, the team shop is open Sunday from 12 to 5, and then it will be open until 6 o'clock on Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, Christmas Eve, we close early at 4 o'clock. So plenty of time for people to come down and shop at the team shop.
And so you can come down, take a look at the team shop, maybe sneak a peek at the renovations out in right field, see how that's going. But they'll get inside the team shop during those hours. And I know you like to have some specials this time of year. What's a real good special for that Tribe fan?
Right, so we're running 50% off a couple of our headwear pieces that we have. We're also running some men's and women's jackets at 50% off. Again, those are selected styles, but at a good price. We're also running select jerseys at 25% off for men's, women's, and kids. And we also have autographed baseballs running 25% off, a great gift to give our fans.
And I imagine it varies from year to year, but is there that one item this year that seems to be especially popular?
Well, one of the most popular items we've had right now have been our little Oyos. They're players, player specific. They kind of look like a Lego, but it's called an Oyo, and those have been very popular, actually.
And I know mostly we talk about things you can wear as a Tribe fan, but this year, the guy I work with, Tom Hamilton, he's on the book tour now. And a great book with him and Terry Pluto wrote it, Glory Days in Tribe Town. You have some specials in the bookstore there? Or the team store, I should say.
Right. The good thing is that we do have this book available in the team shop right now, and it's been very popular amongst our fans now. And encourage everyone to come down and pick up a copy.
And is it true, Tom, volunteered to come down Christmas Eve and sign copies of the book?
That I don't know. You'll have to ask him that.
Not true, folks. He will not be there. So don't come down expecting that. But the book is there, Glory Days in Tribe Town, and as Karen mentioned, some great specials. Karen, thanks for coming by and sharing with us for a little bit.
You're welcome, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
That's Karen Fox, Indians Director of Merchandise, talking about all the great options down at the Indians Team Shop with Christmas right around the corner. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us. Hope you can tune in next week. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
This ball is way back there, way back there. Wave that baby bye-bye.
Swinging a long drive, deep right field. Forget about it. Going, going, gone, goodbye.
Hey, get up. Get out of here. Gone.
Adios, pelota. A swing into this ball game.
Been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.